heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, part of the charm of this program is that, you know what? I like to get the pulse of the people, the opinions of what people are thinking out there. You know, I had somebody say to me yesterday on a social media, I'm sort of dull. My opinion is dull. They had a great thought and I invited them on the show. And I said, no, you're not dull. Everybody's excited. You have something to say here, right? And that's what it is, friends, with hashtag my voice. We all have a voice. And, you know, in today's politically correct environment and everyone, it seems like we're all being censored, I guess. I guess you're seeing that on all the social media. They're shutting folks down. And I think we can still have hotly debated discussion. I think we can be respectful and still be ladies and gentlemen, potentially, and get our point across. And that's what we'll do today on hashtag my voice. So today is round four. The topics are constitutional crisis, a weapons ban, complacency, and the cabal conspiracy. We have four patriots on the call here. Let me tell you who they are right now. Jules Jones, Brian Gold, Carl Porfirio, Linda Martinelli. And Jules, let's start with you on this constitutional crisis. Tell me what's burning in your soul and why you picked that topic.
Well, let's talk about what it is first. It's when the Constitution doesn't spell out its intention, when it does, but it's unclear, or when the Constitution states it's not politically feasible, or when the governmental institutions and how they're set up under the Constitution fail to work together and there's a power struggle. We have seen this since 2016. I believe it started when they were concerned that Trump would not accept the outcome of the 2016 election. All we heard was constitutional crisis and the drama ensued. Meanwhile, you had Hillary Clinton setting up a Russian hoax with the dossier and trying to turn this president into it not being a legitimate presidency. And she hasn't stopped.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't it ironic, Jules? She did exactly, but don't they always do that, Jules? Whatever they say and project out there is exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. I mean, they accuse the Republicans, the right, of what they're actually up to. That's the crazy part, is that you can pretty much figure out what they're up to based on what they're accusing.
Yeah, but that's right out of the Rules for Radical book. That's right out of Alinsky's playbook. So they're playing that to a tune, don't you think?
Exactly. But then it gets worse. You start going down this horrible trail and you see this Obama spygate. You see the FISA warrants. You see it's basically Watergate on steroids. Not one indictment. Rice, Powers, Lynch, all new. So did Obama. You're not seeing any investigation going on the other side.
And Jules, do you know they call that? They still come out today and say that was a scandal-free administration. Can you believe that's what they say?
I can believe it because they're good at it. They're great at spin. I mean, this is what they do. They're fantastic at it. Sure. They're never going to admit something's wrong. You're going to have to try, convict, and hang them first. So you keep going and you start realizing that you have Comey, who's admitted that he lied.
Right.
That everything that he hires an attorney, basically, so he can invoke the attorney-client privilege. And it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, these people are obviously, they're outsmarting themselves. They're outsmarting the entire program. I think where the American people are, Jules, is they're wondering, when does somebody get caught in the rat trap, you see? As you said a moment ago, there's been no indictments, there's been no nothing. And, you know, and the worst part about it is the corruption coming from Washington is it's unfathomable. Those of us who pay attention and know what's going on, the rest of the people, I think, are sleeping at the wheel. Let's go around the table, Jules, and see what everybody... So let me ask you real quick, Jules. Do you think we're in a constitutional crisis now?
I think we've been in one. Yeah. I think the fact that this country is built on laws and they're not being upheld is a crisis. Yes, I absolutely do. Because ultimately, the ultimate end in a constitutional crisis can lead to an administrative, you know, collapse of the government and loss of political legitimacy.
Yeah. Well, the worst part about it, Jules, is they make stuff up as they go. Yeah, you know, that's just what they do. They read in things that are not even in the Constitution, for heaven's sake. They lie like hell, basically. Right. Let's go around the room here and see what happens here. Brian, let's have you chime into that. You hear, Jules, are we in a constitutional crisis right now, you think?
Well, I think we are, but I'll have to correct Jules one thing. The Constitution does apply to people in the United States right now, but only certain people. And that really is what makes a constitutional crisis. It's not ignoring the entire document. Right. It's the fact that it only applies to certain people. And the average American is oblivious to this right now, that certain people get to claim privilege, certain people don't get to claim privilege. Mm-hmm. Certain people get to skate by, other people go to jail. Lord knows that anybody on this call or on this round table right now had done half the things that Comey, Hillary Clinton, or Huma Abedin had done, we'd be in jail. We'd be in jail a long time
ago. Yeah, it's not even half. If we had done 10%, you're 2%, 1%. You're right, Brian.
And I really feel bad for people like the Hispanic community and the African-American community, because they're the ones being led by the nose the hardest. But it's unfortunately, they're also feeling the brunt of this crisis the most, because the more the Democrats strangle the populace, they're the ones who suffer the most. The people in economic downtrend, the people who aren't represented because they're here illegally, they're the ones suffering the most.
And that's where I think a lot of people have lost confidence and trust in government, is because they see that there's multiple sets of rules. It's not just one set of rules here.
I mean, the very people that are supposed to be protecting us and serving us are the very people that are involved, the very people that need to be getting these indictments, the very people that need to be being tried for high crimes and misdemeanors. So who's going to govern these people if we, the people, don't do it ourselves?
You mean the politicians themselves are doing the high crimes and misdemeanors that they're accusing the president of doing, is what you're saying. So what you're saying is we need to impeach the Congress, right?
Yes, all of it. You know, we're going to have to throw it all away and start from scratch. I believe that's basically what Donald Trump is trying to do, you know, get rid of the deep state. And, you know, they're fighting it. They're losing their power. Of course, this is what they want. They want chaos and anarchy. And anybody can see that, especially, you know, someone my age. I look back, you know, and I know what anarchy is and chaos. And you learn about all these things when you're younger. But now you see them unfolding before your very eyes. And it's very stressful to me when I think about my children, my grandchildren, and just the rest of our nation. What's happening to our nation with all of this?
Yeah, we are in some unprecedented times, and everybody can feel this as well. Everybody knows that it's not life as usual right now. It just doesn't feel that way. Linda, you and I were talking the other day about this as well, what's going on in the nation right now. It's very discouraging for many, many people, and many people that's hard to find the faith sometimes, or to be optimistic, if you will, when you see the system as corrupt as it is. What's your thoughts about the constitutional crisis and the point that Jules puts out there, and that we are actually been in one for some time?
Well, I totally agree that we are in one, and we have been in one. And I mean, you can look in so many different areas, and everybody that has spoken is correct about the laws really applying only to one side. So we're not getting convictions on both sides. And, you know, a lot of that is the media being complicit. A lot of that is activist judges that are blocking everything that the president does. I mean, we are really in a big mess right now. When you have people like Rashida Tlaib going around as a congressperson, which is an office that in my lifetime has been an office of honor to be a part of, and she's selling t-shirts that say impeach the MF-er. I mean, where are we going with this in this country? People that are trying to deflect and redirect from what they've been doing and put it on President Trump so that you don't look at them. And there are a lot of other people involved in this, which is coming out every day, Malcolm. There's a lot of people in foreign countries. There's the George Soros connections. I mean, we are really in quite a mess. And my first thought when I saw all of this with the impeachment was, oh my gosh, not again. Right. You know, we just went through this whole Mueller thing and now we have to do it again. I think America is discouraged with it.
Well, it has been just one crisis after the next, as you say, Linda, and it's been that way since day one. There's never been, I said the other day, Jules, on the program here, that on Voice of a Nation, that there hasn't been one week of peace and tranquility since President Trump took office. In fact, before he had the room, the Oval Office redecorated and the furniture in play there, they were going after him. So this thing has been a constant drip, 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 and they've been relentless in trying to remove him from office. Safe to say, Jules, the constitutional crisis is that I think they're in fear of the fact that Trump is doing what he said he was going to do, aren't they?
Absolutely. He's draining the swamp. I mean, yeah. He is going after these people straight up. They know it. He's telling them right to their face. He's not stabbing them in the back. He's saying, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And
that's a great point you bring up right there. I want to add to you, Jules, because he's so transparent. That's one of the things I heard people complain about the other day on the far left, saying, well, this president is so transparent, and they found that as a problem, Jules. In other words, they found that was such a problem for these people. How dare this non-politician be transparent with the American people, Jules? What the hell's the matter with him?
Isn't that the wildest thing? They literally will spin on a dime. They change the narrative. They at anything that ever benefits them. And next week they'll say that he's not transparent enough. Whatever it is that he's not able, that he doesn't agree to do. But what we need an outside agency that's willing to investigate all of this. Congress shouldn't be doing this, but an outside agency.
I don't know. Where would we find that? I mean, and who would that be? I mean, everything is so corrupt. I mean,
well, we have William Barr.
That's
yeah,
right.
But he's not outside. He's inside the Beltway, right? I mean, he's a good AG, but I mean, yeah. If they, what do you want him to do, though? I mean, the system is playing out the way it's playing out. What could AG Barr do, Linda?
Well, he can come up with convictions on a lot of the people that are involved in all of these things that they're doing.
Well, they're working on that now through the legal process, though, Linda. They got Durham. John Durham is working on that. They've got Horowitz. They got all the oars are in the water,
Right, which is why they're coming after William Barr now, and, because they don't want him to get too close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people are suggesting, that may be what's happening, is that they feel the heat rising in the political kitchen, if you will. And that's why, because I've been questioning why this time, why now? Why did they pick now to throw impeachment in? Because it doesn't sound like that phone call would be an impeachable offense for any president or any situation, I mean, in other words, they've made, 100 mountains out of nothing. You agree with that, Jules?
I agree. It's election time. We had a little break. They were completely proven wrong about the whole Russian hoax. We spent $40 million on that investigation. They stole 2.5 years from this president and from us. Mm-hmm. And so with all of that and with the media going around and around and basically they were the Democratic mouthpiece, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of Republicans without a backbone, in my opinion. Now they're being called on it, and they have to come up with something else. They don't have a candidate that we're going to elect. I mean, you see what they produced, and no one's excited about anyone on their side. So they're having their own crisis. They've created their own crisis within their party.
Yeah, it's a full blown out crisis, no question about it, people. But I think you hear a lot of the comments here, Ian. You probably agree with much of what we're saying, because we're talking about an entire system that is corrupt here, people. We're talking left, center, and right. I mean, the entire thing. And the other thing I want to point out that Linda mentions and then Jules seconds there is the fact that, and as Carl was saying, in fact, it's not just, one side, but you can see the Republicans that are leaving office. You can see a lot. That's when you say drain in the swamp. Let me explain to people what swamp is. Swamp means it's left, it's right, it's center. You don't have to be just one political stripe to be part of the swamp, people. It's just like the hush fund up in Washington and all of that pays out for their sexual indiscretions there and the accusations of all this and the taxpayers. You know, that's left, that's right. That corruptness comes in all kinds of flavors here. That's all I'm saying here, basically, okay? I mean, so I don't want you to think we're picking on just one side here. We're picking on the entire system. That's all I'm saying. And that's what we've got here, full boat out here. That's why you know that President Trump has resonated with the American people, number one. And that's why you know that he is indeed draining a swamp that he promised to do, which has kind of been the first in our lifetimes. We've never seen a politician do what they said they were going to do. I mean, they promised to drain a swamp, but typically what happens is they become part of the swamp creatures almost immediately, people. You have to admit that. Well, listen, let's do this here. We're going to take a quick pause here, and we're going to get on to the next to the weapons ban and continue this conversation. Hashtag my voice, and to get out there and let people know that this is what I call we the people, and we need to be heard, and we're going to be heard. So listen up.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now we are back on Hashtag My Voice. I got to tell you, we have more fun in the interludes between the segments here than I can admit to you all. But to welcome back to the show here, listen, I want to bring on Brian Gould next. I want to talk about the weapons ban, or he wants to talk about it. Let me tell you about Brian. He served in the United States Army and U.S. Special Forces for over 3 decades. He now works with the Department of Defense. Brian, it's been a while. It's good to have your voice on the program here. Tell us what's in your soul on the weapons ban. What's going on?
Well, Malcolm, let's talk about the hogwash of what they're trying to promote for the weapons ban. You know, right now they're trying to do a ban on assault-style weapons, which they can't define. And so far they want to do it to protect the American people. But of all the things out there right now killing Americans unnaturally, the assault weapons are the ones doing it the least. It's just the easiest one for them to get their foot in the door for a complete weapons grab. There's no one out there with any logical sense that can tell you why they're going after assault weapons. More people are killed with handguns. More people are killed with knives. We had 300 people this year just in the city of Chicago murdered, none of them with assault weapons. They didn't get a march. They didn't get a day in court. They don't get on the news. We had 200 people in the city of Baltimore this year so far murdered, none of them with assault weapons, all with handguns, knives, baseball bats. This is just the first step of a gun grab that the Democrats have been using for a long time as just another way to disarm the population.
Brian, do you think in your heart of hearts, do you think they literally, I mean, we know they're trying to slowly but surely take that Second Amendment away, but I mean, is it fair to say that's never going to happen? Or do you have real concern that they could pull it off?
Oh, I have real concern they could pull it off. And it's not just the Second Amendment. That's just a good starting point.
Right.
Because less people are involved in shooting than, let's say, Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm. But you already see those trends starting as well. I mean, the city of New York just outlawed the words illegal alien. You could be fined $250,000 for that.
Can you believe that? Can you believe the insane? So what you're saying is free speech is gone. I mean, that's not even free speech, right?
No, freedom.
Can you call the mayor a doofus? Can you call the mayor a jackass and a doofus? Is that legal, or do you get fined for that, I wonder?
It's not freedom to arm yourselves or freedom of speech, Malcolm.
Wow.
It's freedom. It's all about freedom. Yeah. A population that is unarmed and afraid to speak is easy to control.
Mm.
And that is where this entire...
I mean, that should tell everybody right there. The fact that the mayor of New York has done what you just said, that's a great reminder. I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. But the fact that he's done that and that fine, doesn't that say everything? To your point, Brian?
It's very telling of their objectives.
Yeah.
They're not telling people, you know, we want you all to be safe. We want you to be secure.
Right.
But we're going to take the only means of security away from you. We're not going to say, oh, we want our population to be safe. So we're going to have to go after something that has nothing to do with their harm. The opioid crisis and crime with drugs, illegal drugs involved, kills 100 times more people in this country. 100 times. You are 300 times more likely to be stabbed in the United States than shot with an assault rifle. And if you think this is far-fetched, look at the city of London, who has now banned knives in public.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not science fiction or conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. This is the path they've set themselves on to revoke the freedoms of Americans.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking as you're talking there, my mind moves fast, and I'm already thinking, like, because you put out such a big point. I mean, what you're actually talking about right now, Brian, is actually what Jules brought up, is the actual constitutional crisis that will happen. You're talking about a constitutional crisis. That's kind of going to be it on steroids. You know, I wonder how many years it will be from this standpoint. Serious question here to for you all to think about, but you know, we're on loggerheads here. We're going to come to a confrontational moment. I think everybody can feel it in their bones and in their soul that we're going to come to heads here at some point, without a doubt, in this country. There's no doubt. You know, there's going to be another civil war. I mean, and it's going to be a real civil war. I don't like saying that, but Linda, let me go to you next. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be, I mean, you listen to, you know, what Brian puts out there. And it's not just the banning of weapons, as he says. It's the banning of speech. It's the banning of everything. And they are literally, that is the constitutional crisis. But don't you think we're headed somewhere pretty bad here?
It is. And this is the first steps to socialism. So these are the first things that they do. They want to take your religion. They want to take your freedom of speech. They want to control the media. They want to take your guns. And there was a woman on TV just recently that had been in a Nazi death camp. Right. And what she said was, whatever you do, don't let them take your guns, because that's what happened to us. So, yeah. You know, as somebody who actually owns a firearm school, and I happen to live in Texas, and one of my firearm schools is in California. So California's laws now are, let me give you two examples. I cannot, as a previous police officer, former police officer, and my husband as a former police officer, cannot buy ammunition in California because we live in Texas. So even though we own a firearm school there and we handle the CCW programs for them, mm-hmm. we can't even buy ammunition there, nor can we bring it across the state line. It's a felony. So it's a problem. And what they're doing to people there with minimizing their rights mm-hmm. and their Second Amendment is just crazy. The other thing that you can't do anymore is if you're a dad and you're out wanting to teach your son or daughter how to shoot, and you hand them your gun and let them shoot with it, you've just committed a felony. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy what is being done with the Second Amendment. And I totally agree with Brian as far as them taking the automatic weapons and so forth from people are wanting to ban these. Do you know that vaping deaths are quickly coming up to the point of what people have died from these mass shootings?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I don't hear a big outcry about the vaping deaths that are happening. We only hear an outcry about these isolated incidents with, you know, long guns, basically.
Yeah. Well, again, there's a motive involved here, Linda. There's, and, you know, I'm glad you said what you said there, that people can hear too. You yourself, a lot of people may not realize it because we haven't told everybody your opening credentials yet, but you're a former police officer yourself, as well as Dr. Ron is, which is amazing. And like say you run a firearm school, which is kind of funny that you put out in California, you can't even buy the guns anymore. It's pretty wild there.
I can't buy ammo.
Yeah. Ammo, yeah. Rather. Yeah, ammo, right. I mean, you know, again, and California's on the leading edge of a lot of this insanity, clearly. I mean, they're not the only ones. Obviously, New York is, they're like corrupt stepsisters and brothers, you know, New York and California, huh? Let's get over to, speaking about dads, let's get over to a Gold Star dad, Carl Porfirio. And Carl, what do you think? We talk about you and your family in a little bit here when we get on to you, but what do you think about this topic here, what we're talking about with the weapons ban and all?
You know, it greatly troubles me because, like Brian said, you know, and Linda said, this is exactly what happened to the Jewish people. This is exactly what happened to them. And, you know, they're okay. And, you know, my thing is about where did all this complacency come in? So you're standing there and first we're going to take away your guns and then we're going to take away your businesses and then we're going to take away your right to speak out. We're going to take away your right to vote. And it goes on and on and on until what do you have left? And we're under this big, you know, basically a monarchy again, that, you know, off with your head when you don't comply to whatever they wish for you to comply to. And it really scares me. It scares me for my children, for my grandchildren. And I keep saying, why have we become so complacent? You know, I want to say, get you a coffee or a cold dope, as we say here in the South, because I'm fired up and I don't understand. You know, I want someone to explain to me, even in this group, I understand how we're allowing all these things to go on. How are we not reading into these bills when things get put in a bill? You know, we're not going to sell you any ammunition in our state anymore. How do these things get passed?
Yeah. Well, they get passed because they have a doctrine that is far left, extremist viewpoint. Speaking about that, Jules, you live in California. Why are you letting the politicians run wild out there? Explain yourself, please.
They are running wild, and we are trying to recall our governor right now.
I hear that. Tell us about that real brief. What's happening there?
We actually have the forms ready, and they're ready to be dropped off. We are so tired, we call him Gruesome Newsom, of this guy. He is such bad news, and we knew he was going to be bad. I mean, we thought Brown was bad. This guy is so much further to the left, and he is going to keep chipping away until this place is completely out of control. I will tell you, California, at least where I live in Hollywood, and you would not recognize this place. It is so out of order. The homeless population is out of control. We have tent cities everywhere. You would rather walk in the traffic, LA traffic, than you would in the sidewalks, because otherwise you're in the middle of their house.
Yeah, I've seen what a lot of businesses are doing. They're putting big boulders and blocks and rocks out there on the sidewalks to keep the homeless out. I mean, how crazy is that, man, huh?
It's out of control. This is what a democratic state looks like. This is what it looks like.
How much longer before you leave? I asked her that last year. How much longer before you depart there? Or are you going to?
No, I don't have. I'm one of those fighters. I believe in my state. I love California. I think it is a beautiful state. I know we have a lot of people here that are fighting for it every single day. In my groups, in the Mighty 200 groups, let me tell you something. They are putting out petitions. They are working all day long trying to get their message out and trying to change people's minds.
Excellent.
I really feel like they are.
Let me ask you something. That recall Newsom thing you're doing there, are you involved? Is there any connection at all to Erin Cruz, who's running for Congress out there with that? Because I know she's got a program out there to recall Newsom as well. Is that separate or the same?
She's separate from us, but we take her information and we spread it throughout in our groups. Okay. So, yes, we are definitely working with other politicians and other people that want the same thing for
us. So there are multiple groups in play here trying to recall the governor even, is what you're saying to me. Wow.
Absolutely, yeah.
What does he know this? What does he say? What does the governor say to all this? Yeah.
What can he say? You know, he deflects just like all of them do. He tries to act like he's, you know, got a bleeding heart liberal and, you know, this is how things should be. But it's not. You look at the bottom line and what's going on here and you realize the state is falling apart.
Yeah.
And if you look at our state compared to some of the Republican states, the red states, you will see a big difference in how it's managed. Where's the money going? Where's our bullet train? Where's all the things that we've been promised? We're paying so much in taxes and we have such a high crime rate.
Well, I know we got off the weapons ban a little bit. I apologize to Brian, but you were on such a heated thing there, and I wanted to find out more about this because I'm hearing a lot more about it. We're supposed to have Erin Cruz is running for Congress. She's going to be coming on the Voice of a Nation here. She's scheduled to come on here and talk about this recall on Newsom, and I didn't know if that was the same program. Anyways, it's good to be informed on that, Jules. And I know you're pushing it out there. I know you're an absolute patriot, and you're I know you're doing some really amazing stuff out there. So certainly applaud you for that there. Well, listen, hashtag my voice here. We're speaking here with, again, Jules Jones, Brian Gould, Carl Porfirio, Linda Martinelli here. Carl, I want to move over to you next here. And I let me introduce you first and tell folks you are the proud author of My Daddy's Heart is Purple. And this is in memory of your son. and dedicated to your grandson and obviously your gold star dad, and clearly a patriot, as people can hear you there. But let's talk about your topic today, which is complacency. And it's funny, we're talking about here, we've talked about the constitutional crisis, the weapons ban. We're going to be talking ahead about the cabal conspiracy, but what a perfect opportunity to talk about complacency. Tell us what's on your mind there with that, please.
Well, that's, first of all, I want to thank you all for letting me be part of this wonderful patriotic group. And thank you, Brian, for your service. My thing is, why? Like everyone else keeps saying, why are we letting this happen? There's something somewhere. And I think part of it is like the voter fraud, like's been mentioned here. And we just continue to be complacent. I'm guilty in the fact that I'll go through a drive-through now and I'll actually turn down my radio, is say if Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity's on, for fear that they're going to spit into my food. So, you know, I'm even falling prey to it myself. And I feel ashamed of myself when I do that, because I say, why are we doing this? Why are we not walking proud, standing proud? I feel like we're all folding up. When I say we, and I'm talking about us people on the right, us calm people, the Christian people, we're all these crazy Baptist preachers that used to burn Korans and everything. Why aren't they speaking out and speaking up against all these lies against our beloved president and all the corruption and all the things that are going on? Where are all these people? When have we become this complacent? That's just what I want to know. And why, people like Senator Portman are voting, you know, the Republicans are voting against Trump's act for the wall, you know, the money's for the wall. And I have met Senator Portman, and now I'm really angry, because I think next time I see him, what am I going to say to him? You know, I don't agree with you. You're supposed to be on our side. What's happened? What's happened with these people? We're supposed to be together here.
And so who's more complacent? Are we, the American public, in a more complacent mode these days because we're accepting all of this to happen? Or what is it? Or are the politicians just, they're obviously taking advantage, Carl, huh?
They are. Well, I think we're the calmer of the group. The right-wing people, the Christians, the Jews, the whatever, and we're the calmer people, and we're always turning the other cheek. Well, that's bullcrap. We need to stop turning the other cheek. We need to start being more on the offense and stop being on the defensive and stop laying down and saying, well, you know, the right thing to do is let's let it go or let's. No, it's time to be fired up. And, you know, bringing up civil war, I'm glad you all brought it up, because I always feel foolish, like I'm being laughed at. But my mother, who's about to turn 83. About 15 years ago, we were riding in the car with my children, my younger children then, that are now adults, and she said something. She said, we're going to have another civil war in this country. And I'm like, Mother, don't say this in front of my children. Please don't. You're crazy, Mother. Well, you know.
How long ago was that she said that, Carl?
At least 15 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, my sister and I laughed, and it's like, well, the old bag's always right, you know. It's like,
now, why did she think back then, we might? I wonder what was going on that was so bad that you don't remember, do you?
No, I don't. It was during the Clinton thing, maybe. Or
Probably around that time. But she obviously felt that we were headed down the wrong road, and right?
Yes, and she's always been in tune with this thing. She sits there, and I have to tell a quick story. So my mother had some surgery a while back, and she wasn't waking up, you know, from her post-anesthesia. She was, you know, she's laying there, and my sister called, and she said, they're having a hard time waking Mom up. And I said, just tell the nurse to whisper Nancy Pelosi into her ear.
Oh, dear.
And I said, and that'll get her blood pressure back up. And, of course, the nurse just thought that was a hoot, and my mother did recover. So, anyway, you know. She, boy.
Yeah. Now, you say that to her. Some people probably have a heart attack, man. You say that. Yeah. Like a nightmare, buddy. You take a hell of a chance. I was only kidding, Ma.
Because my mother just despises her, you know. And she's going to scream at the television when she comes. I'm like, calm down, Mother. Calm down. Calm down.
Wow. All right. So you're the topic about complacency itself. Let's stroll around the table here and see what everybody's thinking here. Jules, what, jump in here. You hear Carl and what he puts out there. And I love the story about his mom, by the way. And I mentioned earlier about a civil war when Brian was talking. Kind of feels like we're getting somewhere here, Jules. But what do you think about this complacency? Let's stay on task there to what Carl puts out there, please.
Let's not be complacent. Let's not. Like I said, I'm part of the Mighty 200, and we have a ton of groups, and we are activists. We are out there fighting every single day. So I'm going to give you a couple of telephone numbers, okay?
Okay.
William Barr, reach out to him. It's 202-514-2000. Now, whether you're being shadow banned on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you can pick up the phone and you can leave a message on his machine and it will get to him. Wow. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be crude. You can just say, hey, this is how I feel. You know, I don't like what I see happening here in DC. I don't like what's going on. I need you to do something. They need to hear our voices. We need to organize as well as the left does. The left is phenomenal at this. We need to be just as good, if not better. Also, you can call the White House, 202-456-1111. And with the little problem that we have with Adam Schiff, we want to get him removed, you need to go ahead and call the House Ethics Committee at 202-225-7103 and fill out a complaint form at oce.house.gov. That will get their attention.
Wow, Jules Jones, you come bearing gifts there, huh?
Yes, always.
I mean, that's actionable right there. What I really take from what you're saying is that small talk is small talk, but action is where it's at. And you are an activist, Jules, which is why you're saying you're involved in all these groups out there and you're trying to make a difference. You're trying to change the trajectory of it. But that's kind of cool that you put that all out there. Brian, I mean, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road is what Jules is saying. You know, says don't get on the couch. Get off your backside. She's telling people and do something about it.
I agree 100%. The problem is, I think what? That most people think this is by accident. I think most people think that America has become complacent mm-hmm. naturally. And I'm here to tell you that's just not the case. I've been working in unconventional warfare for 30 years. And one of the main tenets of taking over a country, and which is what I studied for 30 years,
right.
You have to make the people believe, first, their government doesn't represent them. Then the government can't protect them. And then they can't make any changes. Those are keys to whether you call it a coup or a takeover or a major change. You know, this is what they did during Mao's youth. It's what they did during the Bolshevik Revolution. They made the regular people think there's no other way to make change. So it's either through violence or you just have to remain quiet until we take over. It's like this in every other country I've ever worked in or studied. This is the patterns you have to follow. And this is being used by Twitter, by Facebook, by Instagram, by all these other media outlets. They're just convincing people, you know, stay at home. You can't make a change. AOC was voted in by 12,000 people. Wow. They had a 35% turnout rate when she was elected. 35% in her district when she was elected, which means she was voted in by 12,000 people. That's the idea. And Jules is right. The left is massively more organized and connected than the rest of us are, and they're winning a lot of these things.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
That's the problem right there, because they have a better megaphone as well, Brian. They because they own everything. They own all the social media outlets, all the newspapers, all the networks, the television networks. They run all the universities, all the colleges. Everything I say every day to our people here, they hear me talk about this litany list all the time, Brian. The left is far smarter than the right, I have to tell you. And in the right, I have a lot of friends on both sides of the aisle, but I have to tell you, the left have outsmarted the right. And when I ask the right the question, Brian, and maybe you have an answer as to why, but when I ask that question as to why that the right has allowed all this, they tell me, well, they're out busy making money. So while they're out making money, their kids are being indoctrinated into all these social programs. And then they say, well, I don't want my kids to be a socialist or be indoctrinated. Well, then why the hell did you not put some gas in the tank here or help us figure it out? You know what I'm saying, Brian? It's weird, huh?
I think a mainstay, especially the Republican establishment, you know, the people who've been kind of guiding the RNC for, you know, since the Reagan administration, right. I think they're complacent because they're rich. I got it. You know, you're not going to affect me. They're one of the few we talked about earlier that the Constitution actually applies to, right. Because I have enough money to buy that application. So they're like, if it works, great. If it doesn't, I got mine. And that's their attitude. And that's why we need to have a huge change in the way the RNC does business and stop getting these people from the Cold War era and try to get some people from the 21st century back into running the government again, or we'll be back in the 19th century.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah, the stakes are high. I mean, the stakes are incredibly high. And I think people are starting to really, they have to see that, because you're in some uncharted waters here now. You know, you hear the words now, people, a lot, and it's not casual, but you're hearing a lot more. After you hear the word impeachment, you then hear the words, the coup d'etat. How many times you're hearing the word coup? Now, you never would typically hear the word a coup d'etat in the United States of America. You'd be talking about some third world country, clearly. But there are a lot of things going on here that are very strange these days. And so now you'll hear there's a coup d'etat here. And that's, in fact, I'm seeing a lot of our writers, a lot of our bloggers and columnists are writing about a coup d'etat as well. And people are sensing that, like I said earlier, it's not, you know, the old saying, people, business as usual. It's not business as usual or life as usual, if you will. There's something different that's happening right now in this country. And as I've said to you so many times, we're living in historical times. It is truly unique. And the fact that we're living here and we're seeing, do you realize that 20 years from now, 50 years from now, we're going to look back, Americans will look back and say, God, there was a guy in the White House one time, a Donald Trump. The guy was a businessman. And man, did he really upset the apple cart. Guy went in to drain the swamp and they about had a heart attack. I mean, you know they're going to have that conversation on the water cooler. Just 20 years from now, they'll be looking back, talking about this era. We are living in historical times right this very moment of time. So as you pinch yourself to make sure you're awake and alive at this moment here, hashtag my voice will be heard. This is round four today here. We're going to take a pause here and be back here. Linda Martinelli will take it up here with the talking about the coup d'etat. How about the cabal conspiracy? I love talking about the cabal. Be back in a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
We are back on hashtag My Voice, and today we have Jules Jones, Brian Gold, Carl Porfirio, and now there is Linda Martinelli. You know the old saying, you save the best for last. That's what, well, we got you right here, Linda. So let me tell you about Linda. She's an entrepreneur, a business executive. I call her a bull rider enthusiast. She loves to go to all the bull riding and has her own bulls, in fact. You don't want to get Linda upset. Plus, she owns a gun operation, I told you there. And she's a show host of Talking While Married. It is an outstanding show at 8 p.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday, with her esteemed spouse, Dr. Ron Martinelli. Talking While, can you imagine such a concept? So, Linda, you're a weekly columnist on the platform, and your recent article, The Cabal Conspiracy, and this is fascinating. Listen to this, people. How 20 people control the destiny of America. And boy, did that get me thinking, because that should get all of you thinking. Because imagine that we're leaving the direction of our nation to just a handful that are messing us up. So let me throw it to you, Linda. Tell us why that's a problem and who some of these 20 people might be, please. You got the floor.
Okay. I mean, well, the 20 people are obvious, and they can change at any time. But, you know, right now you have your Nancy Pelosi and your Chuck Schumer and your Schiff and Nadler. You have the Squad, which are making a difference right now because they're putting a lot of pressure on Nancy Pelosi. You have Mitch McConnell, who's also part of that. It doesn't mean that the people who control the country are all bad. It can be good people, too. You know, you have people on the Supreme Court But for the most part, the people in the Senate and Congress, and of course, then President Trump is in that mix as well. You have the people in the Senate and Congress that really have the power. And then also when they have the media backing too, then, you know, they have the voice. And so those are the people that can.
Well, and part of that 20 is probably the some of the media moguls who own these media empires, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And like I said, those people shift. I mean, it's not a solid number, but the people that control the country control the narrative. They control what you hear and what they want you to believe. Mm-hmm. And it has a huge impact on our country. But, you know, as I was thinking about this when Pelosi announced the impeachment hearings, and my first thought was, oh no, not again, here we go. And I just, the word cabal just immediately came into my mind, because those are small groups of people that are united to promote their private views or interests. This is per Wikipedia, and often by intrigue and usually unbeknownst to those outside their group. If you look at everything that has been done to President Trump since before he was president, you look at the things that Peter Strzok, James Comey, John Brennan, all of these people have done in order to not have him be elected. And then they invented the Russian conspiracy as an insurance policy in case he got elected. And they did all of these things in the background, unbeknownst to anybody but themselves. That's a cabal. And then you still have that now with Schiff, with Nadler, with Nancy Pelosi, with these people that are involved in trying to get him impeached now. And what also hit me, Malcolm, with this, as I'm thinking about this, and I was upset over this because everything seems so wrong about it. And, you know, it's kind of, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it probably is one. Hmm. Is that really what they're trying to do is they have realized that they cannot win this election. They see the crowds for President Trump at all of his rallies. They hear what we're saying, and they see who they've got up for president. And there is nobody up there that is, you know, worth their salt to be president of the United States. So now they realize that they can't win. So they have to get rid of President Trump, because they want to take away our vote from 2016 to nullify our vote. And then they want us not to have the right to vote for him again. And just look at Pelosi's nephew in California, Gavin Newsom, who is trying to not even allow President Trump to be on the ballot there. And of course, the court struck him down, but now he has filed an appeal on that. They are doing everything they can to nullify all of our votes and to not even allow us to have the right to vote. That is a cabal.
Isn't it odd right now, as we said, they're now doing an impeachment right now at this time. And yet it seems like Linda says they realize they don't have like the hottest candidates right now. The pickings on the left are pretty odd. I mean, you've got a series of socialists. In fact, I've been seeing stories this last week. I don't know if you've all seen them or not, but they are seriously, there is starting to be a lot of chatter about Hillary Clinton running again in 2020. I mean, I'm starting to hear a fair amount of chatter about it. You think there's any truth to that, Carl? That she'll run?
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. They're so full of themselves. And then also Michelle Obama. You know, there was always these rumors that Michelle Obama would throw her hat in the ring at the last minute if she could. So I don't know if that's just rumor, gossip, things like that. I who knows? But yeah, I do believe that Hillary would absolutely try to do this again. Absolutely.
Jules, you think she runs again?
Absolutely, she runs again.
You really believe she's going to jump in 20? I didn't see that coming, but you think at the last minute or?
I think she will run again. I know she's been snuggling up pretty close to Warren, and Warren isn't getting any traction on Wall Street. You've got Bernie Sanders, who was rushed to the hospital with heart problems, and you've got, you know, quid pro quo Biden with, you know, Joe that's out there, and he doesn't even know where he is half the time. So yeah, I see it. Absolutely. Who else have they got?
Well, that's part of the problem that Linda says, that there's not a lot there, which is why they're doing the kind of the Hail Mary of the impeachment, Jules. No?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this is exactly what I'm talking about here, is that they need to create some drama, some excitement. They need to rev up their base. The problem they didn't see was that they revved up ours. We're furious over this. We are so mad.
Well, you say that. Now, do you think the right is furious, and will they stay furious? Because, you know, I'll be straight with you there and tell you this. Had they stayed furious in 2018 and got to the booth to vote, or had they voted in that election, they wouldn't have lost the House, Jules.
There was a lot of voter fraud in that. I am convinced of that, especially here in California. There was a lot of things that happened. There were a lot of races that were delayed. There was a lot of things going on during that election. I hope to goodness we have a better vetting system this time when people are voting. But 2018, there was a lot to be looked at. There.
So you blame it on that.
Voters already put the word out that the Republicans are the ones who are going to be causing the voter fraud this time. So, I mean, they're coming at us from every angle. We just really need to be ready. And you're right. We need to vote, and we need enough of us to vote and to be insulted and to stay insulted at what they're doing.
That's it. That's the key to it right there. And I don't think they're doing that enough to really keep, I mean, maybe they will. Brian, what do you see with that?
Yeah, well, one, I don't think Hillary Clinton's going to win.
Do you think she'll run?
No, I don't think she'll run at all. I think she's learned the most important lesson, which is it's better to be the power behind the throne than be sitting on the throne, which is exactly why they're doing what they're doing to Donald Trump. Whether it's this election or the next time we have a Democratic president, any Republican who wishes to run will see what will happen to them. They'll just be reminded, remember when Donald Trump was president? That'll be you. And that deters good people from running for office. And the whole vote harvesting thing, I think, is a travesty. That should be outlawed. But if it's not going to be outlawed, the Republicans better learn how to do it, because that's how the Democrats are whipping our tail ends all over the country.
That's right. That's right.
They're doing vote harvesting.
If it's not
illegal, then learn how to do it. Right now, the Republicans as an institution are sitting on their rear ends, acting like, we're right.
That's
what
I'm saying. That's it, buddy.
It doesn't matter if you're right or not. Do you have the numbers? You don't have the numbers. Get off your rear end. And get to freaking
Yeah, you know, Brian, there's been a lot of talk. You bring up a couple great points there, buddy. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that the right doesn't fight dirty like the left. Shouldn't they fight dirty like the left then? Isn't that where we're at, buddy?
I think it's good for the goose. It's good for the gander. You can't keep getting beat and whining because you were weaker.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. If you want the House back, go fight for it. Not just sit there and say, well, we're right. We should win. That's what losers say every time they lose. Well, we should have won because we were better. Oh, I was the better candidate. I should have won. Look at Hillary Clinton still saying it. Oh, the election was stolen from me. No, you were a crappy candidate. You were a horrible person and a crappy candidate. You don't even look good on TV. You don't talk well. You don't know your audience. The Republicans better learn these things and get off their butt and get the House back. Because if not, this is not going to end in November. This is going to keep on going.
That's right. No, I love your fire you just talked with right there. Jules, I lean more toward Brian. I think he's more correct than what you were saying earlier. I don't think it's so much the voter fraud. I think the Republicans have their head up their ass. Talk to me, please.
They absolutely do. I'll be the first one to tell you they have no spine. They have no backbone. I am so sick of them allowing this president to be railroaded like they have. I mean, that's just, they're letting it happen one by one. And they just sit there and they don't say anything. And you just go, really? I mean, you're supposed to be defending this country. You're supposed to be our voice. You are doing nothing. You are spineless. And it just makes us all so incredibly angry, because in some cases we'll get more from the Democrats that are in office that are in, you know, those middle road states that could go red or blue in a minute. And we'll get more out of them than we will from our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Malcolm, and let's not forget to give a shout out to our two most spineless Republicans, the former President Bush and the current Senator Romney, who shut up for 8 years while President Obama got away literally with murder, and then waited for one of our own to be in office to start throwing stones.
Yes.
I find that appalling.
I'm with you.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
I totally agree.
And what about Paul Ryan? Add a third one to that list, too.
Yes.
Paul Ryan. Go ahead.
He was never anybody. He was always a tool bag. I mean, he only got that job because nobody else wanted it. It's just sad, but it's true. I tell you, I'm a military guy. George Bush did so much great stuff for us after 9/11. Yeah. I can't believe I'd ever raise my voice in public against him. But his actions since Trump has become president and while he was running – are absolutely despicable.
Yeah, he's come out against Trump, but he didn't come out against Obama. Obama was doing all the Marxist things he was doing. He never said a word. People said, oh, he's being a gentleman. What the hell does that being a gentleman mean? I mean, come on.
If we don't get insulted right now and get angry about these people trying to completely negate our vote for 2020 and not even allow us the opportunity to vote for President Trump because they're on a hunting and fishing expedition to get him impeached in come hell or high water in one way or another, and that's what they're doing so that we cannot vote for him. We need to really be angry about this, and not a few of us, but all of us.
That's exactly it, yeah. And, you know, when Linda says they're angry, I think the question I have for you out there is, are you angry enough yet? I mean, you hear all this. What a brilliant discussion here with, let me tell you again, Jules Jones, Brian Gold, Carl Porfirio, and Linda Martinelli here. Hashtag my voice. All right, listen, people, let me give you some marching orders here, number one, okay? Because as Linda was just saying, well, we have to get, you know, we have to get upset. We have to get furious. And, you know, I try when I mention a Jules, well, the Republicans have their head up their backside. I said, well, I agree with you, Malcolm. I'd be the first one to say that. And what I'm trying to do is edge all of you on. You know that. I affectionately say that you have your head up your ass, just in case. You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, a smart guy here, but I am trying to raise the stakes a little bit, or at least remind you of that, people, because the stakes could not be higher. The where this country is headed right now. I mean, we're at a precarious moment of this republic, and it doesn't feel right, people. There's, you know what I'm talking about there. It doesn't feel right. Something isn't quite there. Too much is happening right now. And you should be concerned. Some people, they don't pay attention. They say, well, they stay on the sidelines, but that's not going to get it for us. Brian rightfully points out there are a lot of leaders like the George Bushes and the Paul Ryans and the Mitt Romneys, and there's a ton of them, people, that have certainly let the right down, the Republicans. But these people were never really, well, I guess they were Republicans in nature and name only. But, you know, again, the Republican Party for a lot of years, too, remember, lost their conservative stripes. You got to remember that as well, folks. So they weren't conservative for a lot of years. In fact, when the Tea Party started coming up, I thought that was going to break off and become the new conservative party, quite frankly. And that's another thing that's happening as we rearrange the deck chairs here on this ship we're on here, people. I think you're going to see the Democrat Party now has changed forever. The party of JFK is never coming back. And the Republican Party as well, by the way, because Trump has taken really that over. MAGA, it's the Make America Great. It's the patriots. It's people who passionately care about this nation. Those are the folks that really are driving that boat forward. And there's a lot of people on the fence out there. We got to get to those people. We got to explain to them the stakes. We have to do that clearly. Now, obviously, the Democrat Party has gone Marxist, socialist left. They've gone Karl Marx way. And they lost their way so far in the weeds. They had no breadcrumbs with them, people, so they can't find their way back, obviously. I mean, come on now. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Let's be real. And, you know, the friends you have out there, the friends that are left of center, the moderates, the blue dogs, if there are any of those left, you got to invite them to the Voice of a Nation here, to this show. And you also have to invite them to America Out Loud. We got to get to those middle people. I cannot say this enough to you. Please, I tell you all the time, get to the independents, get to the moderates, get to the middle of the road. That's what I mean. We got to have those people. We got to have those people. And listen, you know, we can do some compromise and we can talk about different things, but, you know, our values are conservative in nature. It's the way we want more minimal government. We want people to be responsible, self-responsibility. We want a nation that's proud and strong, and a strong military. And this is not a, you know, it's not a secret recipe, people. It's a recipe for a great republic is what it is. It's how we preserve this nation. That's what I talk about there on America Out Loud. The reason we do this, I said, here we take on challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. It's right up top there of America Out Loud. Now, again, your marching orders are to get over to AmericaOutLoud.com, and I need you to share all the stories on there. If you're not going over there every day and sharing the stories, then you're a fool. Okay, every one of you, including everybody on this call here, your job is to share them all. Get out there. I mean, we've got a movement here at America Out Loud, spreading the out loud truth from sea to shine and sea. It's right at the top there. So stop the excuses, stop your whining, get off the sofa and get going. All right? Or prepare to move to another country, people. It's not real complicated at this point. Figure it out. Bottom line is this, it's time. to get involved and get loud.